Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know what an oxymoron is? An oxymoron is a figure of speech that produces a seemingly self-contradictory effect of literal meanings, such as jumbo shrimp, original copy, crash landings, working vacation. Less is more. Or how about a sign that reads, trespassing by permit only? Or a t-shirt that says, proud to be humble? You get the idea. We use oxymorons all the time and don't usually give much thought to their literal meaning. That's not a big deal when we're talking about jumbo shrimp or an original copy. But it is a big deal if we're talking about a casual disciple of Christ. Because a casual disciple of Christ is one without serious intentions. A casual disciple of Christ, in fact, would be an oxymoron. Because Jesus makes it clear that a casual disciple of his is really no disciple at all. So we don't want to be an oxymoron. And we can avoid that by listening to how Jesus describes true discipleship and striving to incorporate that teaching into our daily lives. The scene from Luke's Gospel takes place after Jesus' transfiguration, which was about 6 months before his death. We're told that at this time, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And Jesus knew what awaited in there, his betrayal, his suffering, and his death. But he was determined to see it through. Jesus was devoted to his Father's will, and also was devoted to winning salvation for all of us. It's no wonder Jesus attracted disciples. One such man approached Jesus and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." What Jesus was saying to him was this: have you really thought this through? Have you counted the cost of discipleship? This man had no doubt seen Jesus perform miracles. I'm sure he heard him preach with authority. But did he realize that Gethsemane and Golgotha soon to follow? Casual disciples often don't count the cost. And counting the cost is important because the life of a Christian is the life of the cross. And Jesus wasn't trying to scare off this would-be follower. Actually, quite the opposite. He was trying to draw him closer so that when the challenges came, that disciple would be prepared for and he could say, "Yes, it's just as Jesus said it would be. And I'm glad he thinks I'm worthy to suffer with him. And with his help, I can get through this." And so can we. No matter what the challenge is, as long as we count the cost, we can be ready for the challenges when they come. And have no doubt, they will come. Next, Jesus called out to another man and urged him to follow him. The man said, "Sure, right after I bury my father." But Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So I asked, what was wrong with this man wanting to bury his father before joining Jesus? I mean, how long would that take anyway? Well, the thing is that this man was speaking as many Middle Eastern people still speak today about taking care of one's parents until that loved one's death. In other words, he was most likely saying, "I'll follow you, Jesus, but I've got my parents to take care of. Once they're gone, then I'll follow." Jesus, of course, does want us to look after our parents. But from Jesus' answer, it's clear that this man was using this as an excuse. What Jesus is saying to us this morning is that true discipleship know, true disciples rather, know their priorities. And as a disciple, priority dictates that Jesus is to come first in our lives. And we can work at making Jesus the priority in our lives by being in his word, not just once in a while, but regularly, setting time aside for things like prayer and devotion. Because when we set aside a regular time for daily devotions, we're saying, Jesus, I'm ready for you to bless me. I'm ready to hear your word so that I can be assured of forgiveness and so that I may be empowered by your blessings to serve you. And why would we ever want to be casual about receiving God's blessings? There was one more person that Jesus invited to discipleship. And this one said, sure thing, just let me say goodbye to my family first. Surely Jesus would see no harm in that, right? But what did he say? Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't forbid his disciples from interacting with their families. And we had a good example of that in our Old Testament reading that Amy read just a few minutes ago. When God called Elisha to serve as a prophet, Elisha did go back and say goodbye to his family. But he also took the plow and yoke which he used as a farmer and broke it into pieces to feed a fire on which he cooked his oxen. You see, there was no going back for Elisha. From Jesus' answer, we learn that the man whom Jesus had called wasn't quite yet committed to the task of discipleship. What Jesus is telling us in today's gospel reading is that we are to count the cost of discipleship so we can face the challenges when we experience them, and that we could be able to face them with confidence, and that we're not facing them alone, but with Jesus at our side. We are to know that our true priorities as a Christian are to be focused on Jesus. And we do that through daily prayer, being in the Word, seeking his guidance and direction for our lives, and being a part of a community just like this, so that we can encourage and support each other when we do face life's challenges. And we are to focus on the task ahead of us, not to look back, but to be fully committed to the task the Lord has given us. If we don't count the cost of being a disciple, and if our focus is on something other than Jesus and the task he has placed before us, at best, we will only be casual about living a life of discipleship. But how can we ever be casual about our relationship with the one who suffered so much to take away our sins? How can we be casual about the one who has promised to turn every evil into something eternally good for us? So, this morning, I pray for the Holy Spirit to work faith in our hearts, great faith, a faith that counts the cost of discipleship, that allows us to know our priorities as a Christian, and that is focused on the task ahead as we reflect the peace and love of Jesus towards others.